anchoring yourself to success. We're here, we've made it to day 16, and we're still on a roll. Today, what our focus is going to be on is how to take these rituals for successful living and really install them, if you will. Get them so we don't have to think about them consciously. I've mentioned earlier, and I want to remind you again, that one of the biggest challenges for most people when they really want to succeed in their life is they go to try and make a change. But what happens is they try and do it purely consciously. That is, they say, okay, now what I want to do is stop procrastinating, or what I want to do now is start getting myself to take action. And so they work at it for a time or two, but they don't really install the ritual. Do you follow me? In other words, they get themselves to do it a time or two, but they don't develop it into a habit that absolutely sticks. It doesn't become a conditioned response that the environment itself triggers. They have to do it themselves. So what we want to learn to do is really use anchoring effectively. So I want to cover about five things with us here real quickly. One is just remind you of the fact that you're always anchoring. In other words, your brain is making neuro associations. You're learning to associate things and create meaning out of things constantly. It's happening all the time, even when you least suspect it. And I want you to know then I don't have to teach you how to anchor yourself or anchor other people. I have to make you aware of the fact that you're always anchoring and show you how to take control of it. Now, the second thing I want us to do is review what anchoring is. We've talked about it several times, but let's get clear one more time how anchoring actually occurs. Remembering that repetition, again, is the mother of skill. Thirdly, I want to show you how to take advantage of anchors that are already around you. In other words, there are certain things that already make you feel good automatically. For example, there may be some music that you've got that the minute you hear it, wham, it makes you feel great. Well, once you know that, why not use that anchor to induce the emotions that you want on an ongoing basis? Why not have that tape there? That's an example of making use of anchors that are around you. You know, if you know what they are, you can utilize them and really create the results you want right now. You don't have to wait. You can trigger yourself. Fourth thing I want us to go over today is how to eliminate negative anchors. In other words, if something happens in your world and immediately it makes you feel lousy, I want to show you how to get rid of that once and for all right now, where you can do that in a few minutes. That may be the most valuable thing that you're going to learn in a long time. And finally, how to do what I call a swish pattern, which is a way to program ourselves or condition ourselves or anchor ourselves, if you will, so that we are continually pulled towards our goals without any real conscious effort. In other words, where we develop a new habit of thinking literally without having to do it consciously. Those are my five outcomes for today. We got a lot to do in a short period of time, so let's crank. First of all, just remember what we said to start with. You're already anchoring. You're doing it right now. So when I'm describing these things, all I'm describing is what you already do. Step two was, how do anchors actually occur? Let's remind ourselves. Anytime you're in an intense feeling state, an intense emotional state, anything, I repeat, anything that happens around you consistently while you're in that state gets associated to the state in your nervous system. Are you following me on this? In other words, if something happens and I'm laughing hysterically, and while I'm laughing hysterically, you go, and you keep doing that, making this weird look on your face, pretty soon what happens in my brain is the two get linked up. It's the basic principle we've talked about many times, Ivan Pavlov and his dogs. The dogs are in state of hunger. You rings a bell, rings a bell, rings a bell, rings a bell. While they're in state, pretty soon they become connected in the dog's nervous system, where the state and the stimulus, in this case the bell, are linked. Therefore, in the future, he rings the bell, they go into state. We already talked about examples that commercials use this on an ongoing basis. Most advertisers have learned to anchor us. How do we anchor ourselves? Let's say, for example, somebody goes to a funeral, and it's one of their parents' funerals, let's say their father. Obviously, they're not going to be feeling too terribly good. They're going to be in an intense state of emotion, let's say depression. Now, when that happens, anything that happens consistently, and let me be more specific, anything that happens to this person while they're in this peak emotion called depression, anything that happens that is unique and specific and happens consistently while they're in this state will get linked. So what if a well-meaning person comes up to this person while they're feeling depressed and walks over and taps them up on the shoulder and says, hey, John, I know you feel bad, but it'll be okay. And the next person goes, yeah, John, it'll be okay, and hits them in the same place a couple times. And it doesn't change John's state of mind or emotion. In other words, John stays in that peak emotion and this consistent touch happens. What has happened? Well, a negative anchor has been installed. In other words, 6 months might go by and John will be okay about the situation and his father passed away and, you know, he's learned to adjust. But all of a sudden, somebody comes by in a party and goes, hey, John, how's it going? And they hit him in the exact same place, the exact same way. In other words, the same exact stimulus, the same trigger. And within 5 or 10 seconds, what does John feel? Depression. And worse, he doesn't even know why. Has that ever happened to you? Have you all of a sudden felt depressed and not known why? I'll tell you why, because an anchor got fired off. Now you might say, well, Tony, nobody touched me. Well, are touches the only kind of anchors you can have? No, you can have auditory anchors. You could have walked in a room and heard some music that you weren't even aware of as being played low in the background that maybe you associated to something depressing. Or somebody may have looked at you a certain way, that somebody else who used to treat you poorly looked at you, and boy, whammo, that fires off the feeling. Or it can be fired off by a smell. Hey, did you have a smell from maybe your grandma's apple pie or something like that, that whammo, you smell it and you're right back there again? So there are all kinds of anchors, and they're happening all around us again. And I'm saying this because I really want to stress it. Anytime you or anyone around you is in an intense feeling state, and what I mean by that is their body is involved, their whole emotion is really focused, a strong emotional state. Anytime somebody's in a state like that, anything that happens that's unique and it happens consistently while they're in that state will get linked. That means if you're in a really upset state and somebody you love's around, you keep seeing them and that doesn't change your state and you're upset and you see them, you're upset and you see them, you're upset and you see them, pretty soon seeing them can make you actually feel upset. And that's how a lot of relationships die, by what we call negative anchoring. They have problems in their life. It may not even be with each other. There are all these frustrations and things because of financial problems or because of maybe an upset in the family or something at work, and it gets brought home. And if they don't work hard at reinforcing the positive anchors that made them feel good about each other in the first place, the positive associations, if you will, sometimes the negatives get stacked one after another until a couple starts to say, gosh, I want to be with somebody else because when I'm with them, all I feel is good feelings. I don't have all this other burden. And that's how a lot of these relationships break up. You don't want to fall prey to that. You want to start paying attention to anchoring so you can condition yourself to create the results that you want. You might say, well, Tony, what do I do if I notice I've got an anchor? Well, you learn to get rid of negative anchors, and the way to do that is called collapsing an anchor. First, let me say this to you. If you want to create your own anchor, two steps. Put yourself in an emotional state that you want to anchor in. In other words, if you want to get anchors where you can trigger yourself to feel motivated, all you got to do is think of a time you're motivated, really get there. And when I mean get there, I mean breathe the way you breathe when you're motivated, go back to a time when you felt motivated, put yourself right at the peak of the moment. And at the peak of that moment, once you're in state, step two, consistently do something unique and link it to that emotion. So you could be in this emotional state of total motivation and then clap your hands and say yes, clap your hands and yes, clap your hands and say yes, clap your hands and say yes. You do that over and over again, and each time you do it, you make the emotion stronger and stronger. Just by doing that over and over again with deep emotion, that's the key. You gotta really have strong emotion. You can't go, yes, 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 yes. That won't do it. You gotta really be what we call associated, where you feel it throughout your whole body. If you do it over and over again, consistently, you will condition your emotions and your mind and your nervous system to link yes to feeling absolutely motivated. Does that make sense? So all you want to do is set that up. I've created them for myself on different fingers where I can literally touch my forefinger and my thumb and wham, I can get absolutely creative instantly. And that's how I wrote my first book, Unlimited Power. I mean, if you've seen my first book, it's a rather big book. So is Awaken the Giant Within. I've managed to write a few smaller ones since then with notes from a friend and giant steps. But the point is, I wrote that first book in 1 month. I had to. Well, I didn't have to. I chose to. Remember that? I wanted to. They said, look, you know, you're going to have to wait like 6 months until the next run goes where we start putting out books again. That was like the next deadline. I said, no, I want this out now. They said, well, then you're going to have to write it in a month. There's no way it can be done. I said, there's no way? Hey, I believe there's always a way. And so I went to work on it. And I was doing it literally while I was on the road doing my Unlimited Power seminars all over the country. We'd do a firewalk evening, and then I'd go home at midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning. When I go home, I mean go to the hotel. And I'd sit down and have to get myself creative and write. And I didn't feel very creative. But I learned to fire off times when I was creative. And I linked them to the point where I could just touch my fingers and all of a sudden instantly feel that creative flow. And literally would start to pour out of me. Remember, how we behave is based on the state we're in. If you want to get better performance out of yourself, you want to be able to trigger yourself into a state of mind that supports you. I did this with Ken Blanchard. Ken has become a great friend of mine. And years ago, when we first met, he actually attended one of my firewalk seminars and was impressed by the incredible results we got with people, and also impressed that we could get people like himself to actually walk. People that weren't having that intention at all. And they had this, he had this incredible breakthrough. Well, one day, we happened to be on an airplane together. We both live in San Diego. And we're coming back, and he mentions that he's been working on his golf game. And that specifically, he was hired by Golf Digest to go out and basically work with the best golf instructor in the country, spend 4 or 5 days, hopefully improve his golf game, and then after doing so, to write an article, because Ken is excellent at taking things and simplifying them and making them so people can really use them. That's one of his greatest powers. And so they hired him to do that. And he said, you know, it's great. I went there, I worked with this guy, I knocked 3 strokes off my golf game. He said, I was thrilled. He said, but there's a problem. And I said, what's that? He said, well, I can't remember all the things he said to do. He said, you know, I get up there and I got to try to remember all this stuff. And he said, I don't know. I'm just getting the same results. And I said, Ken, you don't have to remember all that stuff. I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever hit a golf ball perfectly? He said, well, of course. I said, have you done that more than once? He said, well, of course. I said, then you don't have to think about how to hit a golf ball perfectly. You already know how. Your subconscious mind knows the rituals you need to go through to hit a golf ball perfectly. All you have to do is put yourself in the same state of mind and emotion where that happens automatically. Here's what I mean. Haven't you noticed that when you do your best, you aren't like consciously thinking of each and everything you're supposed to do at that moment and talking to yourself, all those kinds of things? Aren't you in what I call a flow state? Isn't that really where we are, where things are just happening and you like surprise even yourself? He said, well, yeah. I said, then all you've got to do is put yourself in that same flow state every time you pick up your golf clubs. He says, well, God, how do you do that? I mean, I've been there, but how do you get back there? I said, you anchor it. And I worked with him on the airplane for about 20 or 30 minutes and showed him how to trigger so that every time he picked up his golf clubs, he could fire off that set of emotions. Well, he got pretty excited. He said, well, you know, I think it'll make a difference. But he had no idea how big a difference. He called me back 2 days later to tell me he took 15 strokes off his golf game. Now, if you play golf, you know that's impossible. Yeah, well, it's impossible, and that's why he wrote the introduction to my book, Unlimited Power. We became even better friends, as you can imagine. But Ken is a phenomenal man willing to use it. Are you willing to use anchors for your benefit? You can anchor yourself to anything so that if you need to be humorous or creative, hey, listen, I don't always walk in, and probably you don't do this either. I don't always wake up, let's say, on Monday morning and walk into, let's say, a seminar room and go, oh, boy, another seminar to do. This is only my 97th one in 103 days. Whoa! That doesn't always happen. But I am committed to giving my all every time I communicate with people. That's what I do, what I do for. And so instead of like feeling bad or giving, you know, a decent performance, what I do is I've got anchors on myself where I can trigger myself instantly to be absolutely at my peak. And I demand that from myself. I'd like to challenge you to do the same for you. Develop some anchors so that you could go from being frustrated to excited in a moment, or to go from being angry to laughing. Wouldn't that be valuable? And all you got to do is think of times you're laughing, create an anchor. Think of times you're laughing, create an anchor. Think of times you're laughing, create an anchor. Maybe it's grabbing your ear and going, doo-doo-doo-doo. I don't know what it is. But once you know what it is, next time you get angry, reach up and go, doo-doo-doo, and wham, you can put yourself into a laughter state, or at least the minimum of a smiling state. I want you to have buttons to your own brain. You should be in charge. Now, that's how you create an anchor. 2 steps, get yourself in a state, and at the peak, consistently do something unique over and over again, and just do it until it's conditioned. Now, you might ask me, how long does an anchor last? Well, it depends. When you go to do an anchor, if you want to know how long it's going to last, part of what makes it last is how intense was the state you anchored in the first place. In other words, if you're in a state of absolute total motivation and excitement and you anchor that, that's going to be more powerful than if you go, yeah, I'm kind of motivated. Yeah, anchor that. In other words, if your state is not real intense, the anchor may not last a long time. Does that make sense? Secondly, if an anchor is going to last, you need to link it to something unique. So for example, somebody else is laughing and you want to anchor them. So while they're laughing, you reach over and give them a handshake. Is that going to work? Well, if you shake their hand uniquely and you do it over and over again, that handshake can later, when you shake their hands, cause them to smile or laugh. There's no doubt about it, if they're laughing strongly enough. But a handshake, what's going to happen? Somebody else is going to shake their hand. They're going to laugh for no reason. Their brain's going to go, what's going on here? And pretty soon it'll begin to dilute the anchor. So if you want an anchor to last, make sure you're really in state and make it be unique. That's why I'm using some of these weird noises and I would like squeeze a part of my body. In other words, I would link to the state I want a unique kind of touch and a unique kind of sound. Does that make sense? Okay,